This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
Heading into spring, I've been spending a lot of time pondering, analyzing, and debating something extremely important to men, and even many women, and that's whether a new driver would improve my golf game. I would say I'm somewhere between embarrassing and appalling at golf, but man, do I love it. And all my buddies show up with these epic flash, big maverick Bertha drivers, and I can't help but feel like they've got this massive advantage on me and my persimmons. It's Ryan, and at our Faith and Family Mortgage team, we're proud to have a pretty special advantage ourselves, and one that can be a big deal for you. Our team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company uses its own money and makes its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. And this advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, saving monthly and lifelong money on a refinance or new home purchase. We're much better at mortgages than I am at golf. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Paul, would you tell us, how do we know that this is genuine? How would the Galatian believers know, hey, he really appreciates us? He's doing it because he wants to help us. Some people just do it because they're the doctrine police.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as we continue to look at the importance of sound doctrine. If you missed our last broadcast, we are in Galatians chapter 4, and we began to talk about the importance of a pastor sharing the truth, but doing so in love. And it sounds like we're continuing on that today. We need to be able to recognize the truth, but then to be able to share that in such a way that we don't come across as the doctrine police.
Right. Because the old adage is true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And we need to be very careful. And that's because people are sincere about what they believe.
Sure.
Now, some people are sincerely wrong, but they're sincere nonetheless. And so you want to gently lead people along. That's what Paul is doing. Paul gives them a polemic. It's just a theological argument that goes from A, B, C, D, E to give them comprehension. Put the cookies on the lower table. And I tell everybody, that's the only place I know how to put them anyway. You know, put them on the lower table and then line upon line, precept upon precept, build into a person's life. Right now, you know, I'm thinking of one of my elders who's at Dallas Theological Seminary. When he first came, Brother Ray, when he first came to our assembly, his doctrine was tore up from the floor up. He needed a checkup from the neck up so he could be sound up from the ground up. Boy, he was jacked up.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all the colloquialism I can think of right now. But work with him and shared some things with him and, you know, didn't try to castigate him and all those kinds of thing. And now you won't believe it. Matter of fact, I just talked to him a couple of days ago, asked him to help me with Psalm 37. Any Hebrew idioms or stems that I'm not familiar with. And so I taught him, now he's teaching me.
Yeah.
When he preaches our assembly, he uses the Greek text and the Hebrew text, no notes. And you want somebody that's really sound, and I'm not talking about people who are all sound. I'm talking about somebody really sound. Man, this brother is solid. And he's just doing so well, finishing his last year. A prime example of, you know, someone whose doctrine was messed up. And now God has worked with him because of those who were working with him. And now he's at theological profundity and solid biblical theology.
But as you pointed out, that was something where a number of people, yourself included, came alongside of him and began to show him God's word. And if we want to get to point E, we go from A to B and then from B to C, and you allow him to
reach these conclusions.
Right.
To a degree on his own.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we're going to continue to look at that in today's broadcast. Again, we're in Galatians chapter 4, so grab a Bible and join us there as we continue the importance of sound doctrine. Here's Pastor Ford.
But Paul understands then that you need to begin to have some terms of endearment. Here it is. Here it is in a nutshell. If you don't get anything else, get this. Paul, why are you starting with my little children? Because sometimes people aren't against you, they're just for themselves. Sometimes they're not against you, they're just for themselves. And people need to know that whenever you're trying to correct them, that you're doing it for their benefit and not for yours.
Amen.
See, why does he call them my little children? Because children are innocent in their beliefs. Anybody grow up believing there was a boogeyman? I did. Anybody grow up believing in Santa Claus? How about the tooth fairy with his cheap self? Yeah. I'm telling a dime for a tooth. You didn't get a dime. You had a real cheap tooth fairy, you know? And so the Easter bunny. Okay, we were children. Anybody believe in the boogeyman now? Other than the devil. Anybody believe in the Easter bunny now? How about the tooth fairy? No, because you are those things now to your children and your grandchildren. You know, it's like the little boy, his heart was broke when he found out that it wasn't Santa Claus, that it was his daddy, that it wasn't the Easter bunny or boogeyman or tooth fairy. So he's in Sunday school and the teacher's teaching him about the devil. And all of a sudden he says, I don't believe it. It's probably going to turn out to be my daddy. In other words, my little children is done to make them more receptive to the truth. So that they would be willing to receive. I went through, you know I did because I'm a teacher. I went through 1 John. I said, he's got 9 little children. Do they have any kind of meaning? And you know I found some. I saw that his 9 went something like this. This is just for the Wordsworth department because, you know, I like to do stuff like this. So I just did it. I don't think it has any relevance to what we're talking about. But since I went through the time to put it together, I figured I could at least drop it on you even if I don't say anything about it. So he gives them 9. Little children, he says, listen, you need to be receptive to revelation through Jesus Christ. You need to be receptive to explanation about Jesus Christ. You need to be receptive to expectation of Christ's return. You need to be receptive to emulation of Christ, foundation from Christ, delegation from Christ, transformation, appropriation. And he ends up talking about celebration. Say, what is that all about? He's saying, listen, each time he wanted to give them some truth, he gave them that term of endearment. Can I ask you a question? Wow. How do you go about correcting somebody that's opposing themselves? What's the first word that's coming out of your mouth? Paul calls them my little children. These believers are trying to follow the law instead of living by grace. And so they're in opposition to their own growth because you can't grow by the law. Rules and regulations will not give you a better relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself to us. But there are some people who oppose themselves. For example, let's say you have a daughter or a granddaughter and they're hooked up with somebody that you know is not going to be good for them. They're in opposition to themselves and they don't even know it. So how are you going to go about correcting that young person? You know what? I want you to stay away from them. Ain't no good for you, blah, 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 blah. And that's usually what we do. And you know what we do? We push them towards that person. We did it. When our parents told us, don't go here, don't do this, don't do that. Never told us why, except for, number one answer, survey says, because I said so. And so we later on found out that they could have told us, the reason I don't want you to do it, because I did it. I got hooked up with a fool, messed up my life, and you can learn from me. You don't got to go through this. And so what you need is this. People need to know you have their best interests at heart. That's the point. And he says, my little children, whatever, I care about you. Not just rules and regulations. Not just to make it easier for me. You know how it is. Sometimes it's not about, I don't want my children to act right at church because I want them to respect the Lord. Sometimes I don't want them to make me look bad, because I know the saints are going to talk about me. You know, sometimes our motivation is not right. You know, there are people who don't want their loved one saved for them, the loved one. They want the loved one saved for them, themselves. I'll never forget it. We were over in the what we call the fireside room, and there was only about eight or nine of us. That's what we'd have on a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. And we prayed first like we do here. And the person, one person started praying, and we were right with the person. The person said, Lord, save my husband. Yes, Lord, save him, save him. Lord, you know he needs to know you in the pardon of his sins. Yes, Lord, yes, he does. And we're all in affirmation. And then the person says, because if you don't save him, I'm going to kill him. And so afterward, I pulled it to the side. I said, now you know God's not going to be listening to that prayer. That probably, I don't know, because I'm not God, but probably your husband's not going to come to Christ until your motivation for wanting him to come to Christ changes. See, you want him to get saved so you can live better. You need to want him to get saved so he can live better. And I mean, it's that way. I mean, take anything you want to take. Take it. Okay, I want my wife to submit to me. Why? So I don't have it as hard. A lot of times it don't have. Okay, I can't even be real about it. I was going to say a lot of times don't even have nothing to do with, well, this is God's order and blah. It just makes me be able to get along with you better and all of that kind of stuff. And she can say the same thing. I want you to love me like Christ loved the church for me. Not for the glory of God. And so we have to check our motivation. And Paul says, here's my motivation. I was just telling the brother. He said, man, I've lost my relationship. Why you lose your relationship? I don't know. But you don't want it to be over? No. Then go get them. Go do it all over again. Court all over again. Start all over again. Just let them know, I'm coming to get you. Mm-hmm. Because I want to honor God. And what we got honors God. And so if I messed up or blah, 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 that's all right. God is changing me. I'm coming to get you. Why? Because I love you. Our children, same thing. You know, do we tell them we appreciate them? say, yeah, my child have all C's. Maybe that's your child's capacity. You appreciate they're not all F's. So you get the point that I'm trying to make. You get the point. So. Paul is saying, I have your best interest at heart. Now listen, here's a quote. I love it. You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. Paul Bunyan said that. See, strong people don't put other people down. They lift them up.
Love that quote. You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford and a message called The Importance of Sound Doctrine. We're going to get back to this teaching from Galatians 4 in just a moment. But maybe as you've been listening, there's a question that's come to mind. Or maybe you have a question about how to live out the Christian life in a particular area. Well, Pastor Ford welcomes any question you may have. You can send us a note through our website. Come to treasuredtruthradio.org, click on the note, ask that question. We'll make sure that Pastor Ford sees those, and who knows, we might just answer one on a future broadcast. And if Pastor Ford's teaching has helped you with something specific in your life, like maybe straightening out your finances or understanding a specific passage of Scripture, we'd love to know your story. Again, come to treasuredtruthradio.org, go to the contact page, and let us know how God has used this program to bless your life. But right now, back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
It's like I heard a story that I think really illustrates it. It was these two guys, and they were students at a Bible Institute, and they saw this homeless man all the time. And, you know, his shoes were always tore up. And so they got together four pair of shoes and took them to him. He said, "Oh, wow." And they're thinking, he's happy about these shoes. He said, "Thank you so much. I have four friends who really need these." I thought, yeah. Isn't that something? Now, here's the challenge. I want to challenge you this week to help somebody who can't pay you back. Yeah, to say to God, give me a heart like yours. Give me a heart that appreciates folk. Now, that's going to transform some things. Can I just tell on myself? It'll transform sometimes my attitude when I do help people. Let me tell you what happened to me. There's a lady where I go to the post office. I live over by Chapman. And so I go to the post office on Cottage. So there's a lady, she has candy. There's a guy, he has that paper, Streetwise. So I always give him $1, and I always give her $2. And I don't take the candy because I'm a diabetic. And so God was saying to me, you know, and I talked to her, you know, and I said a couple things to her. And she said, well, you know, I make my rent money out here, or I'd be out on the street if I wasn't selling this candy. And so then I started giving her $5, you know. And then it would go in, and it was like God was saying, give her more. I gave her $10. So guess what? You know, I talked to her all the time. Now, she ain't never told me she was a believer. You know, I share, you know, I do this because of Jesus Christ. It's his, not mine. So just a few days ago, I saw her. And I know it was the Holy Spirit. Give her $20. I gave her $20. You know what she said to me? Here's what she said to me. She said, thank you. I said, oh, you know what? The Lord told me to do this. She said, that's it. I said, what's it? Now I know who you are. I listen to Moody every night. You are Pastor James Ford. She said, you know what? You're one of the few preachers that come in and out of here that actually lives up to what he's preaching.
There you go.
She said, I hear you talk about that you give to the poor and God to, you know, and you every time you, and I say, why is this man giving me this money? I don't trust him. And was like, I said, wow. I told my wife, I said, you'll never believe what, I wouldn't have never known. And she just voiced recognition and said that. And then gave me that great, great commendation. I said to myself, I'm wearing a truck, I don't even deserve it, because there's been plenty of times when God told me to give more. And I said, that ain't God, that's the devil telling me that. But you get what I'm saying. That's what I want you to do. Find somebody, and it may be somebody in this very assembly. It may be somebody in your family. Hey, let's see if they're opposing themselves that we do an act of kindness that maybe makes an impact on them. Maybe not a whole denomination like Hank Hadegraaff. Maybe just one person decides, you know what? Somebody cares about me. And that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah, because you may be the world to one person. You never know. And so, do they sense your heart that you have appreciation? Here's the second thing. Not just appreciation for them, accommodation of them. Now, how do you know? How do you distinguish why they're doing what they do? Because we don't know motivations. I tell people all the time, can't see nobody's heart. You know, how are you going to tell somebody why they're doing something? Some of the times they don't even know why they're doing it. So how in the world are we going to know that I'm really trying to help somebody? Paul, would you tell us, how do we know that this is genuine? How would the Galatian believers know, hey, he really appreciates us? He's doing it because he wants to help us. Some people just do it because they're the doctrine police. Just a Bible-toting, Bible-thumping, sin-sniffer trying to replace the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians. We call them people pharisaical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because remember, you can have the right doctrine and the wrong spirit. Yeah. You know, I teach on communication and in marriage seminar. And what I do is I go through and I say, okay, three aspects to communication. I think I might even share it with you before. The body language, tone, and words. And then I ask them, how much of that is 50%? How much is 30%? How much is 20%? Then I let them say, and a lot of people think the words are the most important. No, they aren't. Because 50% of what you communicate is communicated by your tone. And then 30% body language, only 20% of your words. So imagine now, I'm having a conversation with Sister Ford, and I raise my voice and give the pastoral authority voice. But what I'm saying is right. You know, after I pick myself off the floor, you know, it's like, no. It's like I said all the time. You know, people are going to evaluate you based on those other two more than anything else. So how do we know? How do we know? I remember I was working as a sanitation engineer for the city of Pittsburgh. And I was also a landscaping engineer. That means I cleaned toilets in the park district and cut grass in the park district. But which would you rather have? A sanitation engineer, landscaping engineer, or somebody who cleans toilets and cuts grass? I like sanitation engineer. I put that on my resume when I was looking for a job. Sanitation engineer, landscaping engineer. Amen. But there were only three of us. Rodney, who was unsaved, John, who was a believer, and me was a believer. And so it was so different because Rodney one day caught me and he said, I need to ask you a question. Because Rodney was alcoholic, so he would go behind trees and things and drink. And John would have binoculars. Mm-hmm. He out there drinking. And he'd say, Rodney, I hope you don't think them mints are going to hide that alcohol. You're going to bust hell wide open. And so, you know, I would share with him. One day he asked me this question. He said, I got to know something, Bo. I said, what's that? Do you and Rodney know the same Jesus? I said, what do you mean? I mean, you and John. Do you and John know the same thing? What do you mean, Rodney? He said, because when you talk to me about him, I feel like pulled toward him. But when John talks to me about him, I don't want nothing to do with him. And I will take him in the Bible and I say, well, here's what the Bible says, that he loved you so much that he gave, you know, so he said, well, why is it that you focus in on the love of Jesus? He always focuses in on my alcohol. I said, why don't you ask him? This was just asking because I'm not going to say nothing against another believer. He said, yeah, well, I just wondered. I had to ask you, do you two know the same Jesus? And you know, there's a lot of people that are asking that question about a whole lot of us. Why is it that we have individuals who are so caustic in their Christianity, so condemning in their Christianity?
That's really a good question to be asking, isn't it? You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford. In a message entitled The Importance of Sound Doctrine, really a good look at Galatians 4 verses 19 and 20 today. We'll continue this teaching on our next broadcast. If you ever miss one of the programs, you can always listen online. You can stream the program, download an MP3, or order a copy of the broadcast on CD. Get started when you come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. Well, Pastor Ford is hanging out with me in the studio for a little bit here. And Pastor, you know, this radio ministry is listener supported and we need both the single gifts and the ongoing monthly gifts, don't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. Well, you know what, Steve? I've heard so many listeners and gotten emails. Amy sent me quite a few emails of people who said, when I needed Moody to hear a word, it was there. Okay, so now we need you to be there.
Yeah.
And we need monthly supporters so that whenever you need to hear us, we'll be able to respond. Without monthly supporters, that can't happen because all of us have one-time expenses and monthly expenses.
Sure.
But Moody Radio needs those partners who will come on board, not just for the one time, but for the ongoing expenses of radio.
Well, you can help meet those needs as you give a gift to Treasure Truth and Moody Radio. The easiest way to do that, come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. Click on the link that says Make a Donation. And you can become a regular giving partner, a monthly giving partner right there. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for praying and for listening today. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.